Our first reading doesn't come from the Hebrew Bible, as is usually our tradition, but rather from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. It's in there in the Pew Bible right in front of you. If you grab that book, turn it toward the back in the New Testament and find page 121 on the right side there. You'll be following along with me as I read. Hear these words. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. You know the message He sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. We are witnesses to all that He did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put Him to death by hanging on a tree. But God raised Him on the third day and allowed Him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about Him that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 through 26. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are, of all people, most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Let us turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, to that important story that you heard in music and now in word. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. You'll find it in the Pew Bible in the New Testament on page 108. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid Him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've taken him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. After Pastor Pelaki took his seat and we greeted each other, Don Boyle said to me, "Well, there goes your sermon." And he's right. So clearly I wouldn't try to top that. But today really is, as you well know from so many aspects, today is Easter Sunday. And I think it's really time for a reality check. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We celebrate that event on Christmas Day. His parents were Mary and Joseph. His birth was real. Jesus grew up in Nazareth and he learned his father's trade, that of carpentry. He studied the Holy Scripture, and from what we can tell, he was a very good student. His childhood was real. Jesus was baptized as an adult by John the Baptist there on the banks of the Jordan River. His baptism was real. Jesus traveled around on foot with 12 apostles, teaching about the kingdom of God, healing people, performing miracles for about 3 years. His ministry was real. The Jewish religious authorities, those in power, and the Roman Empire got really nervous about this rabbi from Nazareth. So concerned about an insurrection that they had him crucified at Golgotha. An innocent man was murdered on the cross. His death was real. His body was wrapped in cloth and was buried in a borrowed tomb. His burial was real. 3 days later, the stone that sealed the tomb was rolled away and Jesus rose from the dead. His resurrection is real. Jesus Christ is risen. Indeed. But why did he do this? Why did he do this? Scripture tells us in some of the most often repeated scripture, you see it at football games, John 3:16, when Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." For God so loved the world. But why does God love this world? Because God is love. God's love is real. Okay, here's a quiz for you. Who among us here today has a pulse? Who is breathing? Well then, God loves you. God loves you more than you can imagine, more than anyone on this earth, more than anyone who has ever loved you put together, combined. That's how much God loves you. God's love for you is real. When Jesus died on that cross, He died for all the sins of all the people who have ever lived, of all the people who are living now, and for all the people who will ever live. His death paid for your sins, period. God's forgiveness is real. And you got to face the fact there is nothing you can do, absolutely nothing you can do that will keep God from loving you. God's unconditional love is real. Who among you here today wants to live a life of meaning and significance? A few of us? Well, there is no life with more meaning and more significance than to love God and to serve God's people. God is calling you to a life of love and service. God's call is real. Who among you here today is concerned about the future of our planet and about the future of all the people on this earth? Well, Christian people have the inside story, and it comes directly from the pages of the Holy Bible. Let me tell you how this story ends. God wins, hands down. God's kingdom is real. My brothers and sisters, that is the resurrection reality. Jesus Christ is risen. Amen.